I am Grandpa, and I love you.
I'm Grandma, and I love you too.
Welcome to our podcast, Grandpa and Grandma Bedtime Stories.
We share some stories that will make you laugh.
We share stories that might make you cry.
And we share stories that will give you courage to choose the right.
And these bedtime stories will help you to dream sweet dreams.
So get on your pajamas and say your prayers.
Turn out the light and hear our story tonight. Good evening. This is Grandpa Edward Jeffrey Hill, and tonight I will tell you a Valentine's Day bedtime story. On Valentine's Day, we give each other valentines and gifts to express our love. There are many kinds of love and many ways to express that love. There is the love of friendship, the love of family, and romantic love. We should express love all year long, but on Valentine's Day, we make a special effort to express that love to many people in many ways. How do you express your love on Valentine's Day? I would like to know. If you mail me a Valentine and tell me how you express your love on Valentine's Day, I will send you a surprise. Every year, Grandma Tamara Snell Mulford Hill buys a Valentine's card for me and writes loving and romantic things on that card. I love to get that card each February. She also gets me to sit down at our big kitchen table with construction paper, glue, scissors, and markers to make dozens of Valentines for our children and grandchildren. Grandma Hill is so thoughtful. I probably wouldn't do that. Her Valentines are beautiful. They are works of art. My Valentines are simple and unimpressive. But I guess it's the thought that counts. When I worked at BYU, I would go into the mailroom at the School of Family Life office on February 14th and see several Valentines in my mailbox. They were from colleagues with written words of friendship on them. These Valentines helped me feel appreciated. In addition, I often get emails from my children sharing loving thoughts with me on Valentine's Day. I like that a lot. Perhaps my favorite part of Valentine's is when I get handmade Valentines from my grandchildren in the mail. In fact, if you want to mail me a Valentine this year, I will mail you a Valentine in return with a little surprise. I know I already said that, but I'm saying it again just in case you didn't hear it the first time. There are many ways to express love. Sometimes love is expressed in very practical ways. For example, when our parents set down rules for what we can and cannot do, they express their love for us in practical ways. Sometimes these rules are not very fun. They certainly don't seem to be very affectionate or lovey-dovey gushy, but these rules help keep us safe and are most definitely expressions of love. In the same way, God shows his love for us by giving us commandments about what we should do and we should not do. When we keep the commandments, good things happen. When we break the commandments, bad things happen and we need to repent. Our heavenly parents give us commandments because they love us and want good things to happen to us. We are so blessed to have heavenly parents who love us so much. Tonight's bedtime story is about love and a Valentine's Day more than 60 years ago that I still remember very clearly to this day. In fact, if I look in the palm of my right hand, I see something that still reminds me of that day. More about that later. On Valentine's Day in 1962, I was 8 years old and lived in Santa Cruz, California, at 151 Carroll Avenue with my parents, great-grandpa Edward Iring Hill, and great-grandma Ladine Jones Hill. I also lived with my 6-year-old brother Scott Emery Hill and my 3-year-old brother Ted Howard Hill. Ted was very active, kind of like your cousins Henry Wright and Ethan Coon. He was adorable, but he made lots of messes, and sometimes Mom was exasperated with him. Do you know what the word exacerbated means? Let me tell you. According to the dictionary, exasperated is an adjective that means to be extremely annoyed or frustrated, especially when nothing can be done to improve the situation. Would you like me to use exasperated in a sentence? I think I will. Here's the sentence. Mom was exasperated with Ted when he dumped out all the flour and sugar onto the floor and played with it like he was in a sandbox. Because she loved us, Mom gave us lots of rules to keep us safe and to help us grow up to be good people. She also gave us those rules so she wouldn't be so exasperated with us. For example, one rule was no hitting. When we were angry, we weren't supposed to slap, punch, bite, or hit each other. It was against the rules. And if we broke this rule, there was a consequence. Mom would spank us and send us to our room for 10 minutes. I sometimes wondered if it was right for Mom to hit us because we hit each other. Wasn't it against the rules to hit? I must say, though, she never spanked us hard, and it was always on our bum, and it did teach us not to hit each other when we were angry. So I guess it wasn't so bad, though we didn't like it. Because she loved us, Mom gave us another rule. No jumping on beds. We liked jumping on the beds, and she gave us that rule so we wouldn't get hurt and we wouldn't break our beds. As you can imagine, my brother Ted didn't always obey my mom. He loved jumping on the bed. And to tell you the truth, I liked him to jump on the bed too. It helped him get the wiggles out, so he wasn't so annoying. When Ted jumped on the bed, sometimes he got caught, and sometimes he didn't. When he got caught, there was a consequence. Mom didn't spank him for that. She would just grab him lovingly and start singing, "No more monkeys jumping on the bed," and take him to his bedroom for 10 minutes of timeout. I also liked to jump on the bed, but as a 9-year-old, I obeyed my mom better than my 3-year-old brother. I never jumped on the bed. Well, I almost never jumped on the bed. In February of 1962, my mom was pregnant with my sister, Ann Catherine Hill, and did not feel very well. Food made her feel nauseated. Do you know what nauseated means? That's right. You are so smart. It means that you feel sick to your stomach, like you're going to vomit or throw up. And interestingly enough, the word nausea comes from the Greek word nausea, which means seasickness. Well, when my mom was expecting my sister Anne, she was very nauseated and threw up frequently. She also became exasperated much more easily. About 8:03 a.m. on February 14, 1962, I was signing little Valentines for each person in my third grade class. That was when school had a start time of 9 a.m. I was sitting at my little desk in the corner of my little room, signing all those Valentines with a sharp, painted yellow number 2 black lead pencil. I personally didn't want to give each classmate a Valentine because I didn't like each person in Mrs. Maddox's class. But Mrs. Maddox said we had to, so I was doing it. Mom was helping me, but then she got nauseated and ran off to the bathroom to throw up. When Mom left, my brother Ted got a twinkle in his eye and started jumping on my bed. That looked like so much fun. I wanted to jump on the bed, but a little voice in my head said, "Mom said no jumping on the bed." In fact, I believe I even remembered my mother singing, "No more monkeys jumping on the bed." But I wanted to jump on that bed with Ted so much. And I wasn't a monkey. I thought, what would it hurt to jump on that bed for just a minute? Do you think I should jump on that bed? Of course not. But I did anyway. Pencil in hand, I slithered away from my desk, climbed up on my bed, and started jumping with my brother Ted on my bed. For about 1 minute, it was so fun. We laughed and laughed. It was like we had our own little rectangular trampoline. Though I often found Ted a little irritating, I felt like we were brothers and having fun together, doing something that was just a little naughty. I think your cousins Andrew and Joseph are sometimes like that. We jumped higher and higher and laughed harder and harder. Then we heard the toilet flush and the bathroom door open. I knew that if we got caught jumping on the bed, we would be in big trouble, especially since Mom was pregnant and easily exasperated. We would be in big trouble. I had been baptized and had the gift of the Holy Ghost, and knew Mom would expect me to know better than jump on that bed with Ted. I tried to quickly jump off the bed with Ted and get right back to my desk signing Valentines like I was supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, when I tried to jump off the bed with Ted, I lost my balance. I did not nimbly jump off the bed with a perfect landing. Instead, I fell off the bed with Ted and crashed to the floor. Then I felt a sharp pain in my right hand. It wasn't the normal fall off the bed hurt, but it was a sharp pain that hurt like the dickens. What do you think happened? Why was my right hand hurting so much? My hand hurt more than any other hurt in my whole life. I looked down at my right hand and saw lots of red. Do you know what that was? Yes, you are right. It was blood pulsing out of my hand. I screamed a blood-curdling scream, and then I saw something that scared me even more than the blood. I saw half of a pencil sticking out of my hand. Oh, no! Let me explain what had happened. When I jumped off the bed with Ted, I was holding the pencil with which I was supposed to be writing Valentine's. When I crashed to the floor, the sharp black lead of that number two pencil jabbed way into the palm of my hand. Most of the pencil had broken off on impact, but the lead of the pencil was deep in my hand, and what was left of the shaft of the pencil stuck out of my palm about an inch. I screamed and screamed. I was hurting and I was scared. When Mom heard my blood-curdling screams, she immediately came running. I showed her my hand, and when she saw all the blood, she almost fainted, and she almost threw up. But she didn't, and she didn't get mad at me. She just got a towel and wrapped it around my hand gently so I wouldn't get any more blood on the floor, and she walked me into the bathroom. She washed my hand off and gently tried to pull out the pencil. But it was stuck and would not come out. She looked at me and said, "Jeff, we need to go straight to the doctor's and get this taken care of." I could tell she was worried about me, and this made me glad, but worried. I was glad she cared about me, but I was worried that I had done something terrible to my hand that might not ever get fixed. Mom wrapped an H bandage loosely around my hand to catch the extra blood, and we headed out. As we got in the car to drive to the doctor, my palm was still hurting, but not quite as much. I kept crying, but I stopped screaming. My crying was more like a whimpering. I was crying, but without any noise. We went straight to the doctor's office to our neighbor, Dr. Naaman. His son, Marv Naaman, was one of my best friends. When Mom explained I had a pencil stuck in my hand, the nurse immediately took us to an examination room. Dr. Naaman came in and had a long white coat on. In those days, doctors always wore long white coats. He took off the ACE bandage and looked at the blood and pencil sticking out of my hand. He took a cotton ball and put something on it and said to me, "Jeff, you must be brave. This is going to sting a lot." And then he put something on my hand that did sting. It stung so bad. I cried, but again, I tried to be brave, and I didn't cry with my loud noise. I just cried tears. In a little while, my palm stopped stinging, and it didn't hurt so much. As Dr. Naaman looked carefully at my hand, he asked, "So, Jeff, how did this happen?" I started crying again, but not because I was hurt. It was because I was ashamed of what I had done. I told them about not wanting to write Valentine's, about jumping on the bed with Ted, even though I knew it was against the rules. And then I related to him about not wanting Mom to catch me. Then I told him about crashing to the floor with the searing pain of the pencil entering my hand. He chuckled a little and said, "I hope, Jeff, this teaches you to obey your mom. You'll be happier if you do." Dr. Naaman tried to jiggle the pencil out of my hand, but it wouldn't budge. He finally looked up at Mom and said, "Looks like we're going to have to do a little surgery this morning." "Do you know what surgery is?" "The dictionary says it is a branch of medicine that involves cutting tissues to alter the body's structure." Dr. Naaman would have to cut that pencil out of my hand. I started crying again because that would really hurt. Then Dr. Naaman did something surprising. He got a needle and gave me a shot in my hand near where the pencil was. I found out this was a shot of Novocaine. Novocaine was an anesthetic that made my hand go numb. I couldn't feel anything in my hand. Not feeling anything in my hand felt good. Then Dr. Naaman took a scalpel off a tray. The scalpel looked like a knife. He took the scalpel and made a little cut around the pencil. Then he gently pulled the pencil out of my hand. However, as he was pulling, we heard a crack. And when we looked at the pencil, the lead had broken off. Dr. Naaman looked concerned and said, "We can't leave the lead in your hand. Lead is not good for you." He had to put the scalpel deeper into my hand. There was a little more blood. However, he was able to gently dig out a couple of pieces of lead. He looked carefully with a bright light into the wound in my hand. After a few seconds, he said with a satisfied look on his face, "That should do it." Then he chuckled and pointed his finger at me. "And remember, young man, no more monkeys jumping on the bed." I don't know why, but I laughed and Mom laughed too. He concluded, "Jeff, remember, if you obey your mom, it will be better for you." And I always tried to obey my mom, though I wasn't always successful. Mom and I went out to the car to drive home. I couldn't believe she wasn't mad at me. She just seemed to be thinking to herself. And then she started crying. I asked, "Why are you crying, Mom?" She responded, "I am just so relieved that you weren't hurt worse more than you were. I love you so much, and I would hurt so much if something really bad happened to you. That pencil could have popped out your eye, or jammed into Ted's throat, or something really terrible. Jeff, please, no more jumping on your bed." After that, I obeyed her almost always. Valentine's Day 1962 is a day I will always remember. When we got home, Mom let me stay home from school. She made me a nice lunch and we played a game of Rook together. And she didn't make me do my Valentine's. When the Novocaine wore off, my hand hurt pretty bad. Mom ate ice cream with me so it wouldn't hurt so bad. I remember that day as one of the best days ever of my whole life. In a couple of weeks, my hand healed and was good as new. It didn't hurt anymore. Well, it was almost as good as new. Apparently, Dr. Naaman didn't get all the lead out because even after my hand was healed and the scab was gone, I could see a little black remnant of the lead in my palm. In fact, today, 60 years later, I can still see a little black mark in the palm of my right hand. If you ever want to see it, I can show it the next time we are together. I'm kind of glad that I still have that mark because it reminds me of how important it is to do what is right, like keep the commandments. It also reminds me how much Mom loved me, even when I made a bad choice. There are many ways to express love. One way your parents express their love for you is to make rules for you about what we can and cannot do. They are trying to keep you safe. Even though you might not like all these rules, I hope that you'll obey them. In the same way, God shows his love for us by giving us commandments about what we should do and what we should not do. When we keep the commandments, good things happen. When we break the commandments, bad things happen, and we need to repent. Our heavenly parents give us commandments because they love us and want good things to happen to us. We are so blessed to have heavenly parents who love us so much. I hope that you will keep their commandments. That's all for our bedtime story tonight. Sweet dreams, Valentine's cream, sleep tight, and always choose the right. I love you. We hope you enjoyed tonight's bedtime story.
We hope you felt our love for you.
And we hope you will have sweet dreams tonight. We love you so much.